All right, this is David Tassar, and again, we are back continuing on with the System Center Service Manager 2012 course for planning, deploying, and managing. And for this next few modules here on incident, problem, and knowledge management, I brought Sean in. So Sean, could you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, David. My name is Sean Erickson. I work for Cyrosyn. I myself am a consultant. I've done many implementations for Config, Ops, Service Manager, Orchestrator. Our company itself is a service organization. We do provide implementations for services, as well as we have a full application store that extends the functionality of Service Manager. We are here at MMS. We're excited to be here. And for those of you not here, make sure to come here next year.
Okay, cool. All right, well, let's dig in. I believe our first one is, problem management?
Incident management.
Oh, incident management.
We're gonna start with incident management.
Okay, incident management, let's dig in.
And the interesting part about my particular set of topics is it starts to actually build into what Microsoft's doing as an organization and embracing best practice around a concept called ITIL. Now, Microsoft has its own flavor of this called MOF, but ITIL is a big fundamental building block of this particular set of topics. And before I jump into the slides, I tend to, for audiences that are new to this particular topic, give a really quick overview of the difference between incident management, problem management, change management, service request and release. Now I'm going to focus on incident management and problem management. My buddy Chris Ross from Catapult will be doing change, release, and service requests right after this. So it's going to be a good segue from a knowledge perspective to understand those building blocks between them. Now, I'm on stage here. Let's say Dave and I are on stage here and this monitor goes out. There's a whole team behind this camera. They run over here, fix this monitor, and we keep going. The monitor goes out again. The team comes here, fixes the monitor, and we keep going. The monitor goes out again. Is it a monitor problem? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's something to do with the infrastructure around us. Now this is starting to identify the reaction to the business on fixing something very immediately, which is an incident, so it's a break fix, versus understanding a trend. Now we have a trend of three instances of a monitor going out. And that's what we identify as a problem, as a trend that happens in the business. Once we identify that problem, let's say that we have to actually break down the cabling here and actually have to have a change go into place to actually redo the infrastructure so that we can continue with our session. Now that's a good example of a change, right? So we're identifying a couple of break fixes in incident management. We identify that trend across multiple instances, which is a problem. And then we as a business communicate to MMS, MSDN has to go down for a couple of hours because we have to fix the cabling. So that's a change. So we're communicating to the business that we have to make a change to the infrastructure. Everyone's aware of it and everyone does their job. So that's a very basic example of incident, problem, and change, but that can be reflective of any part of any business. Links goes down, exchange issues, facility issues, finance issues, very, very common. You can apply that basic building block to any topic. Now, really quick segue into service request management, which is another core function of Service Manager. Service request management, in comparison to incident management, is I need or I want from the business. So service request management could be I need to start a new hire process, or I need to terminate someone in my organization, or I need a new iPhone, or I need a new, sorry, an iPhone, Microsoft Summit, a Windows phone, all those things. So service request is I need or I want from the business, where an incident is a break fix. And that's really important to understand as we start using this language and this terminology around incident, problem, change, and service request. And again, not right honed around all my topics, but it's a good segue between what you're going to see in the next couple of sessions.
Yep, and we have a whole day of modules here, and we're just breaking it down into chunks so that I think by the time you go through all these and go through all the ones after this, you'll have a better understanding of how to get it all done, right?
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely. And when you look at incident management, I think it's probably the most fundamental part of how to actually start consuming data from the business. And there's a couple of building blocks in here that are really, really important that not only from an ITIL best practice makes sense, but also from a MOF perspective, because System Center Service Manager is a data hub. It's consuming ecosystem information from AD, Config Manager, Ops Manager, and you can use this data to measure the business from a reporting perspective, and it really does pivot around incident management. So what do we do from an incident management process? Well, we have Bob in accounting, and Bob calls into the service desk, and Bob has an issue. So the first thing we do is we start understanding Bob as an individual in the organization. We identify that user, we identify that business department, and we start having an intelligent conversation with the information coming from Active Directory. Then we start understanding his problem and identifying and categorizing it. So that really comes down to actually what I consider the most important part of incident management is the actual categorization. Out-of-the-box service manager, and we'll see this in the demo, has a decent category structure, but you as a business have very specific requirements that need to wrap around categories. So when you're categorizing someone's incident, make sure you guys categorize it correctly so that when you look 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, you're measuring the business based upon that category structure. Then after that, we start consuming that data. So I'm on the service desk, I can't fix that issue. I may open up an incident, I may reroute it to the desktop team, I may reroute it to the server team. We're updating that incident along the way. We're attaching that incident's CI information, so the physical computer associated with that incident, maybe the physical printer. We're doing root cause analysis against that computer from config manager data, operations manager data. We're using the Microsoft System Center ecosystem at our fingertips in the MOF framework to really understand Bob's issue and how we can actually solve his issue. After we go through that due diligence, we move it through the actual process, then we actually go through a resolution process. So we resolve Bob's issue, we close out the request, and again, at the end of the day, through that process, we're going to be understanding Bob's information, the category structure, the asset data, and 6 months from now, if we're doing that properly, we're going to be able to trend the business and measure the business from an incident management perspective. Now, what we're going to do here is we're going to walk you through some screenshots and how you actually will start managing this data. So we're going to visualize some of this. And I started with this, and this is the first part of the deck for a reason, is classification is the DNA of Service Manager. You have to classify incidents correctly to be able to properly report against the business. So we're going to start there. When you build your incident management processes, your problem management processes, service request management processes, classifying them correctly is really important. Then also building a prioritization that really drives into service level agreements is a very, very important part of the business as well. Understanding what you're promising to the business, setting those expectations, and then measuring them from a service level perspective comes down to prioritization, which is a fundamental building block of incident management. When you're going through the resolution process, there's a couple of key parts that you can measure the business from as well. Every analyst is working on incidents, problems, service requests, and you as a business need to understand that David here spent 20 minutes on an incident, or I spent 30 minutes on an incident. And then because maybe David's in the server team and I'm on the desktop team, my manager can measure his output of quality against the business versus his manager. And the resolution tab and the resolution process service manager gives us that ability. We can actually measure by the clock individuals' time and then relate that to the related support group and then start mining that data from a reporting perspective. In the resolution process, we also have this interesting concept, and it actually drives from ITIL, is a difference between how we classify an incident when it's first opened and how we classify an incident when it's resolved. This is important, right? So I'm on the service desk team and I say, Bob from accounting called in and I thought it was a link issue on the desktop because he couldn't log in. And it went from the service desk team to the desktop team, then to the server team. And then when David on the server team actually closes that incident, he then resolves that incident. And there's a whole category structure against the resolution of an incident. This is important because now we can actually identify trends between how my service desk is interpreting data from a category perspective and how we're actually classifying that. We can build gap analysis between those two things and understand maybe for the service desk team, we should educate them a little more on link to be able to understand how we solve those at a first line rather than actually at a third tier.
Right, well, I'm thinking too as well as, you know, if you want to analyze a cost associated with incidents, right, you could say, hey, here's the categories of what it's associated with.
Absolutely.
And or like, hey, how are things getting resolved? And if you notice that a lot of things are trending one way of how they're getting resolved, maybe there's an area there where you need to go in and make some changes, right?
Absolutely, and that comes back to reporting. You're able to report against those and measure the business.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, just in general, there's a couple of key components in that overall incident lifecycle process. Service Manager does an amazing job of consuming email. It's actually one of the best examples of consuming email I've seen, and there's a couple different ways I mean that. When you're actually moving between the service desk team, the desktop team, the server team, the ability to communicate via email between those teams, I've reassigned this to David, I've reassigned to a support group. That's a basic way we actually communicate back and forth that, hey, you have an incident assigned to you. We also have full communication back to the end user. So Bob in accounting, he'll get an email saying, hey, you have an open incident. Hey, we resolved your incident. So those are kind of fundamental things that service manager brings to the table. The Exchange connector, however, is a lot more robust than that, and it's a beautiful example of how Microsoft consumes its own ecosystem in System Center. So let's say David sends an email to the service desk saying, I have a problem with something. and I and the service desk team receive an email saying, hey, David has a problem with something, I can actually communicate with David via email back and forth. As long as I CC the service desk email address, my communication back and forth with David stays against that incident. It's constantly updating that incident. When David says, hey, you resolved my issue, thank you very much, then we can actually send an email into the service desk, say, this has been resolved, and it actually will automatically resolve the incident. And if you look at that particular process, David never went into a console, not the customer portal, not the regular console. I never went into the console, and I communicated completely with David in email, and all that was tracked in the history. So the Exchange Connector for Service Manager is something that you should embrace from a communications perspective. And it's really important to understand the ins and outs of it. It's not just a way to communicate, hey, you have something open and closed. It's really a nice way to be able to control the overall email communication. Outside of that, views, queues, and reports are a way to actually visualize that data. So I have the ability to present data from a views perspective, incidents assigned to the service desk team, the desktop team, the server team, and then I can actually visualize that in reports as well.
Yep, and we'll have a reporting section at the end of this course, dive in more deep into the reporting.
I think I'm giving that one.
Yes.
Yes, I am.
You will be. Yeah.
I'll be giving that one.
Yep.
So you'll see me later today.
Yep.
Outside of all of that, there's some other ways we can actually harness the power of service manager and incident management. It makes life a little bit more easy for the overall analyst experience. I'm on the service desk team, and you know the number one problem in most organizations is password reset. So why wouldn't I have a template in service manager that when I open up an incident, I just click on a template and I say, hey, this is a password reset issue. It categorizes it, it resolves it for me. I press OK and I'm done, I'm on to the next call. This example of templates is something that's built into the DNA of Service Manager. It exists in incidents, service requests, and changes, and it's something that's really, really important to understand as well. And we'll actually visualize this in the demonstration. Another great thing to really understand around the overall Service Manager ecosystem is how our business can actually communicate to us issues that are happening. So we all have the phone call. You have a service desk number, and you can actually phone up and report that issue. But Service Manager offers some other entryways into the actual opening up of issues. You can go to the customer portal, which we'll see today, and you can open up an issue. You can email the service desk, which we've talked about a little bit with the Exchange Connector. It's full integration with other parts of the System Center ecosystem, so Operations Manager can kick off a service has stopped on Exchange or a server has gone down and in one of my SQL farms. It'll automatically open up an incident in Service Manager. If I was the ops manager guy and I closed that alert, that automatically resolved that in Service Manager, so full bi-directional communication with ops manager. I believe you talked a lot about that in the previous session.
Yep.
And then from a config manager perspective, we can actually notify when there's changes to the DCM baselines and make the service desk and desktop team be aware that someone's made a change to this goal baseline, go check this out and make sure you're proactive in that conversation. So really tight integration to be able to communicate what's going on from the business in multiple entry points. So we've talked about this a little bit, just to kind of overview this as well. Classification initial support is really, really important. It's a powerful way to really understand measuring the business. Having predefined workflows across those best practices is really important. So how do I manage incidents? How do I manage problems? How do I manage service requests? All those things in between, and notifications as well. And we'll actually demo all of this when we're actually going through the overall process. Now, I started with incident management. But incident management is a starting pivot point to all the other processes we talked about. So I can actually take my incidents and I can turn them into a problem because I'm trending across those incidents, mm-hmm. categorizing them. I can actually take my problems and then move them into a change. I can take my change and move them into a release. I can take my incidents, problems, changes and link those to service requests. And you'll see this in the demonstration, but it's an important thing to understand that there is a segue between each one of these ITIL domains that fundamentally the business needs to understand, and Service Manager does an awesome job of being able to federate and integrate that conversation in a single pane of glass.
So just incidents then, it sounds like, is kind of the foundation for most things, right?
Absolutely.
So an incident is what starts things off, and from there it can go a number of different pathways, yeah?
Absolutely. Okay. And most organizations, well, all organizations except for a couple, start with incident management, service request management. They move into change management, release management, and it's usually in that phase approach. You can't consume all of it at once, but most of the time people start with incident management as a basic framework.
Incident or service, kind of the two starters, yeah?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Now, just a little bit of overview for the console, and we'll jump into the demonstration and walk through this as well. On the general tab, you have the ability to do things such as bring an affected user into play, title it, provide a description, give a classification category, control the source of this, give an impact, an urgency, which actually dictates the priority. And this is also kind of a fundamental building block in Service Manager. Service levels are driven by priority, but they're laid up by impact and urgency. And what we mean by that is an impact to a business could be exchanges down, so everything is out in the business. Where if the CEO calls in and the CIO calls in and they say their mouse doesn't work, the impact to the business, it's debatable, is in my opinion, low.
Yeah. But if you don't respond to that well, it could be a CLE for you.
Yeah, it could be. It could absolutely. But the urgency could be higher, right? So right. You'll see here in the demonstration as well is we'll choose an impact, we'll choose an urgency, and that dictates priority. So it's kind of a good thing to understand and how you actually manage that. We're able to assign the support group, assign the analyst, kind of bounce around in there, be able to reassign all the examples we gave. From an activities perspective, we're also able to start putting activities behind incidents. So I can assign manual activities, I can have runbook activities in here. And a good example of this is in an incident, it may say, I want to fix someone's desktop, but I'm not in charge of imaging. So I'm gonna be controlling that process from an incident perspective. I'm assigning to David as a manual activity underneath that incident to be able to actually re-image that desktop. I'll get the desktop back from David and I'll go to the end user and actually finish out the incident. So it's a good example of the difference between incident and an activity. From a related items perspective, we've talked about this a lot, but consuming System Center ecosystem, Active Directory, Config Manager, Operations Manager, you see here that we're able to actually start relating configuration items into an incident, actually start measuring the business from that. You also see here that I can actually relate work items to work items. So maybe I have other incidents that relate to this incident, and I can see that relationship between one incident and another, and then when I'm reporting again, looking backwards, maybe I'm actually searching for incidents and there was a blue screen and death issue that I saw and it's related to another incident. I can see that, and I can see how David fixed that, and I can use his notes from that incident to be able to solve that problem. All of that is correlated and all of that's related and federated in the CMDB for Service Manager.
How does it intelligent like that? I mean, and obviously I can see here via your screenshot, you can click add and have it add a related item,
but
is there an automated fashion it detects the related things there?
Service Manager, and this is a good example of System Center, right? So Service Manager out of the box doesn't have that automatic detection. However, Orchestrator has the ability to understand those trends. So let's say over the last 3 months, we've had a lot of linked desktop issues. Mm-hmm. So we can actually use Orchestrator to trend against those automatically, bring those together and relate them all together against a problem, and now we have a relationship between some commonality of incidents related to a problem. So there is the ability to do that with Orchestrator.
Okay.
We talked about the resolution process, but again, another way to really measure the business, understand David's time versus my time, and aggregating that information, understanding from a cost perspective how we actually manage those costs. And then we talked about service levels a lot. This is the first time we've actually seen the screen for service levels, but as we're actually putting service levels against incidents, problems, service requests, and changes, what you'll see here is you'll have the ability to actually see a service level, be able to measure the business from a service level, and be able to know when a service level is going into a breach state, or it's actually going into a warning state or a breach state, and you can actually be visually proactive with that conversation. Last but not least, on an incident screen, is Service Manager has an unbelievable ability to have an audit trail. If you sneeze on any part of any work item, you change a title, you reassign, you do anything to it, the audit trail picks that up. And you'll see this is a very important part for organizations that really care about compliance and governance. Finance organizations, pharma organizations, healthcare organizations, this is a really key component to understanding how strong Service Manager is. If I have a change and I go into it, HIPAA says once I get to a certain stage, I can't modify that change. Well, what if David goes in there after that stage and actually sneezes on the title or reassigns it or adds a different configuration item? Well, guess what? We're gonna know David did that. We're gonna know when he did it, what he changed, and actually give us the exact time, date, and stamp on that actual change as well.
So playing the kind of advocate here, or the on what could happen. So could somebody go in either maliciously or on a desired way to make it so that when changes to certain fields maybe don't get tracked, right? I mean, maybe there's a bunch of on the bad side, maybe somebody's being malicious, but on the good side, maybe like there's a field that you want updated regularly, but you don't want to have this like flood of information that's not relevant. Is that possible?
It is possible. And then the interesting thing about Service Manager is that, well, System Center, actually, it's actually an open source platform. So there is a great out of the box experience, but the reality is that you can actually make Service Manager do whatever you want. And if there's fields that you want to have read only after a certain stage, or if there's fields that you want to control the overall audit experience, depending on the priority and the activity workflow, you absolutely have the ability to do that. So going through a little bit of the administration, which we'll dig into the demonstration process, we have the ability to configure general settings, resolution time, priority calculations, email configuration, and the incident workflows. So going into the general settings, there's a couple of things we'll see here. On the Service Manager console, if you're an administrator, you have the ability to go into administration settings. And when you get into there, from an incident perspective, you have the ability to configure some basic things here. So what we're gonna concentrate on here is the general settings, parent incident, calculations, things like that. So I have the ability to control the prefix, I have the ability to control the number of related items, number of attached files, the maximum size for that actual attached file, and it's all controlled for your business. The default support group when an incident actually comes in. I have the ability to control a parent-child relationship, and what that means is if I have a bunch of incidents that I want to actually bring into a parent-child relationship, so maybe I have a bunch of link issues that I want to actually control as a major incident, I can build a parent-child to that relationship. And then you have the ability in the incident settings to say, okay, well, when that parent's closed, I want to automatically close all those children. Or when that parent's closed, I don't want to automatically close all those children. So you have the ability to control that behavior.
It could be like perhaps when there's a bug or a service outage for something in your business, and you start getting a ton of help desk calls or a ton of service requests come in, and you just all categorize them under there. And then you resolve it, send out a mail, and then there you're good, right?
Well, and that's a good thing, right? Because sometimes you do want to have that human touch without actually having that human touch. So maybe I do want to automatically close all these incidents or resolve all these incidents and then send a personal email to all these people saying, hey, we really worked hard on your incident, and we want you to know that your particular incident is resolved. And it's masked. They don't know that it was actually solved by a parent. So
right.
Goes both ways.
Yep.
Goes both ways. You do have the ability to control that priority calculation. So remember I said earlier, you have impact plus urgency equals priority. Well, you control this here. And the really simple math here is when you add, so low plus low, medium plus medium, high plus high, what does it actually mean in terms of the priority calculation? And what you're seeing here on the screenshot is kind of a best practice, a 1 through 5 priority calculation. And at the end of the day, when we go high and high on impact and urgency, we're seeing a high on the actual priority itself. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a legacy part of priority calculation, which comes from the 2010 infrastructure. Most organizations in 2012 don't use it. So you'll see this nice, really fancy animation. Disable this if you're using service level objectives. But you do have the ability to control resolution time by dictating priority manually. But we really strongly recommend using service level objectives to be able to control this conversation. Last but not least, just conversationally around service level management, we have the ability to control service levels. That is dictated by the created on date and the resolved by date by default. You have the ability to control different timestamps. And when you actually are going through a service level conversation, you'll see here that when a service level hits based upon different variables, and we'll hone on priority for this example, you'll have a target end date. And when you have that target end date, you start to see things around the service level management to say, okay, well, if I have a target end date of X and I pass that up, then you'll see that my incident goes into a breach level. So this is a good way to visualize how we're going from a warning state to a breach state. Now we control that in the service level conversation.
So this could, I'm just trying to think of another scenario. I'm not sure there's all kinds of ones here, but an incident, I mean, we keep kind of talking about incident as a, you know, problem or something's gone wrong, right? But I'm just thinking of the scenario of, let's say you want to provision a resource, right? Would that be more of a service request then at that point, or
That would be a service request.
Okay.
And then I want from the business would be a service request where a break fix, again, is reacting to the business. Something's wrong with the business, and we're trying to fix it as immediately as possible.
Okay, all right.
We also have the ability to integrate into Operations Manager, so we have the ability to see events coming in like we talked about earlier, but we actually can enable links into Operations Manager to automatically bring up related interfaces for the Alert View or the full Health Explorer in Operations Manager, and again, give you a segue from Service Manager to be able to see data in Operations Manager as things are flooding in to Service Manager. And here you see we're actually configuring the Operations Manager link for my particular business. In the incident management configuration, you also have the ability to set up email configuration. This is, again, something that came from 2010. It's a little bit old school and legacy, if you will. You have the ability to forward SMTP information through Service Manager and consume email. Strongly recommend you don't do this. There is a really nice Exchange connector. Although it was release candidate, our team has done 30, 40 implementations.
That's okay. Hey, well, as we had in the session earlier, you know, we talked about it. It was announced, hey, the release version should be out any day now. Maybe even by the time you're watching this course, it's already probably released in its final supported form. So
Exactly. So we recommend using the Exchange connector because it's really easy. The only problem is if you have 2003 Exchange, you can't use the new Exchange connector. You have to have 2007 and 2010. So bear that in mind, but
if you're on into Exchange 2003, it's probably time to start moving forward anyway, right?
Oh, yeah. It hasn't been end of life yet, but yes.
Yeah,
I would agree. I think XP still hasn't been end of life either, so.
Yeah.
So with that said, we're actually going to segue into the demo for incident management and walk through a lot of things we actually talked about.
Okay, let's check it out.
So we're going to go through some of the things we talked about around the incident management process, walk you through kind of the building blocks of incident management, walk through a little bit of the admin settings so you guys get a look and feel for that. And then we'll walk through how we actually create an incident and some of the things we articulated in the PowerPoint here. So first things to start off with is, you'll see here we talked about all those different ITIL processes. You see they're front and center here. And from an incident management perspective, what we get here out of the box is really a nice way to be able to visualize all of the incidents that are actually happening and being received from the business. And we talked about views a little bit, so you'll see here that we can see different perspectives and filters on different views for my incident management. I can see things such as all open incidents. I can see incidents that are assigned to me. I have the ability to see the incidents that are assigned to specific support groups. And again, like I said, as we're transitioning these incidents between teams and support groups and different elements of the business, we have the ability to build these views to actually wrap around how we actually want to receive and perceive that data. Now, you'll see also here when I right-click, I have the ability to create an incident. I also have that ability here on the right-hand side here towards the bottom. And the reason that's important here is that's a nice really entry point into actually when you're answering the phone and working with the customer, actually creating an incident. When I create an incident, I'm going to start capturing data that we talked about in our PowerPoint deck here. So I'm going to start capturing data such as the customer's name. And in my particular example, I'll use Allison. And again, to show you the power of Service Manager and bringing in that ecosystem, Allison's information is coming from Active Directory. So we're going to capture all the metadata around that user object. So her first name, her last name, her title, her company. We're going to see every single work item that's ever been associated with Allison. So if she's calling in for common things, I have that at my fingertips.
So if you get a real problem user, then she's going to pop up and say, wow, 56 incidents, uh-oh.
Allison is a problem maker, yeah. So you would actually be able to trend against her. And that's actually a good example of reporting, right? So maybe Allison just needs to go to a Word class or an Excel class to be able to stop having her call about common issues. So that's a really good example of articulating a problem user. I can also see her manager information. So I get the ability to understand that, and we can actually use that in workflows to approve and reject items. Now, let's say Allison's calling in about a phone issue. So we'll say her cell phone's not working. We can start putting a title around that. We can provide a description. We can put a classification category around that. So we'll call this a hardware problem. And you'll see here also that I have the ability now to provide a priority. And the way I do that is I provide an impact and an urgency. So the impact of the business is fairly low on this one. But for her, because she's maybe someone that travels, it may be a little bit higher of a priority. So we'll classify it as medium. And you'll see here that my priority goes to 3 because we're doing that dynamic math on the fly from our incident settings. You'll see here also that I have the ability to assign a support group, so I'll kick that out to the service desk team. I'll assign this to Scott. on the service desk team, which is the person I'm actually logged in as. And because I've actually put Allison's name as an affected user, I also have the ability to associate a configuration item coming from Config and Ops Manager against Allison. So let's say Allison is calling about her smartphone or she's calling in about her workstation. You can see here that I can add those particular CIs to this incident, and then I can actually understand that and trend for that against in a reporting perspective in a future date. I can also open this up and see all the data coming from Config Manager. So I can see principal name and serial number and asset tag and all that information that's coming from Config Manager in this particular connector. Continuing to move on here, you'll see here that I do have the ability to add activities. So if I wanted to add a manual activity or a runbook activity, I can do that. I'm not going to do that in this particular example, just to show you how we can do that. I could also start relating items to this particular incident. So if I wanted to relate other work items like we talked about, I have the ability to do that. So I'll just grab a couple of activities here. If I wanted to relate other configuration items, so let's say that I wanted to relate another workstation that she's using, I have the ability to do that as well. And again, the beauty of this is when I actually open up these CIs that are coming from Config and Ops Manager, I get all that inventory data against those particular CIs. So the other CI, I wasn't able to show that too cleanly because it was one that I created manually. But you'll see here, Config Manager is providing full DNS name, NetBIOS names, SMBIOS tags, serial number, OS information, memory information, OS hardware information. I'll see all the hardware on that particular device. NICs, processors, disk I/O. I'll see all the software on that particular device, what's installed in that and new programs, all the software updates that have been installed, that need to be installed. And this all happens out of the box. You have the ability to use this information at your fingertips to be able to be proactive in actually solving this incident.
And I could see how that'd be really handy too if you have, let's say, a help desk set of folks or maybe an initial entry tier of problem level management people that aren't, maybe you don't want to give them access to a configuration manager, which has all that data, but they at least have a surface level of info to try and direct something to a resolution.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's a good way to actually feed that information to those individuals. So if I continue down this process, I can also see that on the resolution tab, I have my clock ticking here. And when I actually press OK on here, I'll actually add 4 or 5 minutes of time that I've actually spent on this particular incident. I can also come in here and do this manually. So let's say that I've worked on Allison's issue for 30 minutes. I can add that here, and I can actually start aggregating that information and measuring the time I spent against this particular incident.
So that timer, is that automatically timing you being in the console, or when does that start? As soon as you open the window?
I open up the window, the timer starts, and it aggregates that or counts that clock, and then when I press OK here, and we'll see this when we jump back and do it, when we reassign it, we'll actually see that the time has actually been added to that particular incident. You also see on the right-hand side, we have a bunch of tasks here. I can do things such as reassign this to another analyst or assign it to myself. I can change the incident status to a different status here. I can create a related problem, which we'll see in the next segue. I can create a related release record, a service request, a change record. I have the ability to transfer this to another support group. So if I want to transfer this to the desktop team, I can do that. And these tasks are really, really handy in being able to do one-off activities against incidents and be able to move them around Service Manager on a day-in and day-out basis. Now, because I have a related computer here, I can actually ping the related computer. I can actually initiate a remote desktop session through Config Manager. So maybe I want to actually remote into Allison's machine and be able to see what she's actually looking at for her particular issue. I have the ability to do that.
And is that set up after you set up the Configuration Manager connector? And is there specific things you need to configure after that to get that to work?
Great question. So the default task here is a remote desktop session. So it's an mstsc.exe session back to the computer. But there is a ton of articles out there that actually articulate and show you how to actually build the actual remote control process from Config Manager against that CI. So you can expand this task list to be able to take advantage of that. And then Allison, like you said, doesn't have to have access to the Config Manager console, but she can actually do remote control against that machine for those particular scenarios.
Yeah, just as long as they have remote desktop permissions to remote in and they're good.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's great.
Absolutely. After we actually kick this off, we'll see a service level assigned to this particular incident. So we'll actually have to press OK here to actually kick that off, but that will actually start. So let's go ahead and reassign this to the desktop team here. And like I said, we have views that give us the ability to see different perspectives of data. So I'll move over to the desktop team here. and I'll see that incident. And let's say that for whatever reason her cell phone's not working because of something that's happening in ActiveSync and Exchange. So maybe I want to escalate that out to the server team, so I'll go ahead and do that here. Please help me.
I need help.
I need help.
Escalate.
When I do that, that will filter out of the desktop team. I'll go over to the server team here. I actually will see that incident. Now, if I double click that, the service level may have kicked in by now. It may not. It takes, you know, about 60 seconds to a minute. Not yet. But what you'll see here is that the activity log has been updated to be able to show all the things that have happened to this particular incident. So all the reassignments. Mm-hmm. So that action log is retaining that data. You also see here that from an audit perspective, anytime I've done anything against this incident, whether it's creating it, whether it's associating a service level that just kicked in, or whether that's actually reassigning it, I have the ability to actually visualize that. Let's see if I can see my service level. Let's back out here and open this up one more time. Oh, no service level yet. It will come. It just takes a couple seconds to kick in.
Yeah, no worries.
So the idea here is that we're able to, again, from an incident perspective, receive an incident, be able to reassign it between the different support groups, mm-hmm. react to that information, use Active Directory, Config Manager, Ops Manager data to understand the person's environment and be able to solve that issue as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and then have that service layer come in, service level come in and say, hey, how are you complying against that or not, and let you, and you could take even actions based upon that.
Absolutely. Right? So let's bring one that actually has a service level that's kicked in.
Yeah.
And that's a bad example. I keep doing this. Let me get rid of this guy. We'll use ERP issue here. So we'll see here that this particular incident has had a service level assigned to it. It's in a breach state. And you'll see here that based upon, in this particular example, the fact that Allison, or the user's information is coming from Shanghai, China, we actually can wrap the service level around the actual time zone, and we can actually give an end date for that incident to be able to say, you need to solve this by a certain end date. If you don't, we're going to go into a breach state. And then we can notify the business as well.
Makes sense.
So outside of all of that, once I've actually resolved this particular incident, I can go ahead and, or once I feel like I resolved this incident, I can resolve this incident here. By clicking on resolve, I can provide a resolution category. So in this scenario, I fixed it by a higher tier support. And let's say in Exchange, I fixed the user's account.
And you could make those fields required, I'm assuming, too, that you need to specify something
Absolutely.
In there.
Absolutely. Coming back to kind of that open source conversation, open source you can make anything required, not required, read-only.
Yep.
That's the actual
Great.
Incident. Now, talking about notifications, when we open up that incident up, Allison could get an email saying, hey, you have an open email, our open incident. When I close that, we can say, hey, Allison, we resolved your incident. And communication between you and I can happen from an email perspective as well.
Okay.
Last but not least, let's dig into administration a little bit. Oops. So we talked about this in the slide deck, but when we go to administration and we go to settings, you'll see here I have all my settings for all my different parts of my service manager implementation. And we'll dig into the incident settings here. So a couple things we highlighted in incident management is we have the ability to put a prefix. This is the default prefix, which is IRs. You can change a prefix, and this happens because of a business requirement. We can specify the maximum number of attached files. Sometimes that's good to understand because this is all stored as blob data in SQL. So you may want to make sure that you don't have a lot of big files being attached or multiple files being attached. It's a good way to scale that conversation. You can assign that default support group to any support group you have in your business. You can control the parent-child relationship. So in my scenario, I'm not controlling that, but if I wanted to automatically resolve child incidents when a parent incident is resolved, I can control that behavior. I can actually let the analyst as well control that behavior, so I can prompt them and make them aware of what they want to do for the parent-child relationship. I can define priority calculation. So again, low plus low, medium plus medium, high plus high dictates certain scenarios. So in my example here, high plus high is a 1 priority, whereas low plus low is a 4 priority, and that would dictate the actual service level process. Again, this is a little bit legacy, so we don't recommend using it because it takes away from the service level objective conversation, Service Manager 2012, but you can control resolution time based upon priority a little more manually and in a more tactical way. We have the ability to link into Operations Manager. So in my particular demo environment, I have SCOM 2012 as the Operations Manager server. And when I actually have an event come in, I can actually link into the Operations Manager console and see alert views for servers that are having events against them or network devices, or I can bring up Health Explorer in the web console and be able to see that as well.
That's kind of one of those tasks on the right-hand side. You had the remote desktop, those other things, so you get the OpsMan view of whatever OpsMan has for those particular servers.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely. It's one of those tasks on the right-hand side.
Okay.
And then this is an example of how you can actually set up incoming email from the old way. So if you did want to actually use SMTP drop locations and forward email from Exchange Server, you have the ability to do it. It's actually fairly easy to set up. And we strongly recommend that you use the Exchange Connector, even though it's not RTM yet. It works, I promise. Yep. I've seen it in lots of implementations, and it's really important to recognize.
So if you're using the Exchange Connector, which I'm guessing most people probably do, because we keep hitting that point, would they need to check the box to say turn on incoming email processing here, or is that just done via the connector?
They would deselect the box.
Okay, there we go. All right.
And that's kind of a nice overview of incident management and administration. So we walk through all the incident management fields, we walk through the tasks a little bit, how you actually manage that, moving between the different support groups, talk about the administration settings a little bit. That's a nice, really good overview of incident management.